Big, big Frim. In my ears, in my mind. That's where you live.
In your mouth. I'm not in your mouth. Sorry. I could be if you bought me dinner. Hello, Zach Thompson.
Hello. Good to see you again. Good to see you again. I wanted to talk this week about the art of clarity and the importance of gaining it. Something you very
struggle
about.
With. I've been thinking about this habit of clarity. Like, I like gaining clarity, but I don't like being clarity. It's a beautiful song as well by John Mayer that you might like. Clarity. Yes.
Yeah, you're very good at being quite forensic in the interviews, I've noticed. You know, you'll that bit doesn't make sense with that bit, etc., etc. Very good. Mm-hmm. So in a sales setting, I'm going to give people a few different examples to think of here, because I think there are some that are commonly talked about and perhaps a few that aren't. Number one, you know, the thing where you're a software salesman and someone says like, oh, does it do X? And the software salesman, probably because a trainer or whatever, goes, yes, it does. So probably everything they get asked, yes, it does do that. Yes, it does do that. But they never ask a set of fundamental questions, do they, Joe?
They never do. They never do. I think people see those as buying signs and think, right, I'm just going to run in here straight away and start selling. But actually, as two people that have worked in sales for at least a year, we know that the selling actually happens in the questioning and the discovery and by the clarifying.
Have you got any examples of either where you've been sold to or heard someone or someone you've trained where that's made a big difference?
I've got top of the dome, but I've got a recent example. So we've hired some new starters who have been dialing for We Have a Meeting. A new starter comes into the office and they dial on our behalf first before they go on clients. And somebody was on the phone the other day and they got asked, are you a competitor of Zoom? Okay.
Right.
And the person just went, yeah, we are. And they launch into what we do, which is obviously not the way, but you've got to commend the confidence. But are you a competitor of Zoom? My head goes to so many different places. What Zoom? Do you know what I mean? Are you saying Zoom Info? Are you saying Zoom the meeting software? Are you just saying Zoom the noise that a Formula One car makes? That's what you're asking. Are we competitors of Formula One noises? Because we are. So like clarifying, just before you say Zoom, I don't want to, I might sound like an idiot, but what one are you talking about? What Zoom are you talking about? Okay. And then unpacking, like, if you're asking that, there's a reason that you're asking that. What is a competitor? And actually, why are you asking that? And if you go deeper into it, you might find they're looking at it. And if they're looking at it, why are they looking at it? Or they already use it. Why do they already use it? There's so much clarifying that goes on that's going to give you information and knowledge. And we know that knowledge is power.
I'm going to throw back to an earlier We Have a Meeting podcast guest, Derek Gaunt, who works at Chris Voss's Black Swan Group. He was talking about the difference between a why question, right? Because someone might say, are you a competitor of Zoom? Why? Feels a little bit combative, but he was saying you can use the labeling technique as a question. So there's a few people in my team, I'm sure in yours as well, who use this really well. So they get asked the question, they go, ooh, sounds like there's a reason you've asked me, or feels like there's a reason that's come up now, or sounds like there's a reason that's important to you. And they kind of struggle with it using those labels, and the other person tends to clarify the position. The risk is, you can have a lot of these little checkpoints, right? And some of them might be fine. Some of them, like, do you do this? Yes, fine. Some of them, do you do this? And someone's taking a note down, jotting something down. You don't really know why you're being asked it. And things tend to come out upstream. And when we used to do a lot more sales coaching, I would spend a lot of my time on calls, pausing, going, you know, doing call coaching with people, pausing and going, what did they mean by that? I don't know. Keep going. Pause. What did they mean there? I don't really know. You can just play that game constantly, can't you?
1,000,000%. It's the game of getting it. Like everything, it becomes a habit. What do you mean? I say it when I do sales training. It's my favorite sales question, and it's so simple. it's very Jordan Peterson, isn't it? What do you mean a ham sandwich? But it's just like,
mate, what? I've never heard you do a Jordan Peterson impression. And that was actually quite good. And you're not.
Don't. Right. That's annoyed me. That's annoyed me that you've complimented. Yeah, because you're quite good at impressions. But yeah, great question. But how? I feel like most salespeople struggle because they lack the ability to switch into actor mode. They just go for the juggler of, yeah, we work with them. Would you like to book a meeting? They don't bring the actor. Right, Zoom. And they play with it a little bit. We've been thinking about this, and this is probably another episode that we might do of that framework of how do you accept questions through tonality? Do you know what I mean? So that's one thing to think about. And then go, it feels like there's a reason you're asking me that, like really understanding. So what I would set, we like setting tasks, but this is going to be a real task, is go back and listen to 2 to 5 of your most recently booked meetings and make sure that everything you know in the call is fact. Or if you look at your notes and say, they're using this, they're using this, they're doing this, they're feeling this, they're blah, 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 blah. Why? I've just seen what you've changed my name to, and the audience can't see that. And you've thrown me off my train of thought. It's very good. Very, very funny humor. Nice one, mate. But asking yourself,
let me jump in with something.
How do I know this is true?
You're distracted. Let me jump in with something. I got an email this morning from a client of ours saying, can we extend to cover the US as well? But in order to cover the US, I think we'd be better off using a US speaker. Right? Now, I think 8 years ago, I would have gone, panic. Yeah, we need to go and get that done. It's going to be better with a US speaker. Instead, you should be going, that's a belief. Where's that come from? Where would that not be true?
Yeah.
Where would it
flip
be true?
Why would it be better with a UK speaker? Why would it be better with a Spanish speaker? Let's run some tiny experiments.
Exactly. If someone rang me with an accent that I don't hear all the time, I might be like, "Oh, hello, where are
what
you
accent?
Calling from?
Name one."
I don't hear all the time. Perhaps, hey there, Zach. It's Cahal from Donegal here. How are you?
Wow, so Revolut don't have your number, I'm guessing, because I'm at about 30.
Very good. Very good. So clarity, explore clarity. Right. And then the last one that I want to leave people with is, me and Jack bang on about this all the time, but around expectations. It's just the biggest thing ever. People sell so much at perfect. I've done a few sales calls and a few demos recently where people are just like, I can definitely solve that for you. I can 100% solve that problem for you. I can definitely. And it becomes very based on that. But expectations are not only subjective, but because of negative bias, we kind of always think it's going to be the worst anyway. So setting your stall bottle job at perfect often can lead to disappointment, can't it?
Well, I thought I knew where you were going there, but you actually are unpredictably irrational. But you were telling us this morning in our director's catch up that you looked at a piece of software and the guy come back and said it might be underwhelming. You might not be that impressed with you because we know the sales rep and there's a bit of a relationship there. But that disarming upfront honesty, we've got Dr. Chris Phelps on the podcast this week, if you've listened to that episode, getting there first makes you a bit more bought in and a bit more trust. And actually, I'll probably be more impressed because my expectations are lower. So I don't know if he was being honest. I don't know if it was a psychological warfare trick. But guess what? It worked. Take our fucking money. Yeah,
all booked in. Yeah, and it's something that we're always refining, isn't it? Like the onboarding, the expectation for the first week, for the first month, for the third month, for the expectation should always be there, and it should be based very much in reality. So takeaways for people should be, start to build in a layer of curiosity. Imagine, like, kids are really good at this, like little kids, like my 5-year-old, you make a point to him and he's like, why? The first thing he asks, why? Why does it do that? And you get to a point where it's like, because I said it is, or because I said so, you've hit on something that you don't really understand.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then you can start to bring them the lawyer, and you've actually, you've got them there themselves. Like, I love it. Like, I know we're digressing, but I just love when people say, these are our payment terms. And you go, okay, why? Well, yeah. Well, it's the way it's always been. All right. Is there a way around that? Probably. Okay. Don't take everything as fact. Question everything.
Question everything. Task for this week, Jack, I think it's your turn to set one.
It's my turn to give a task. What I'd like you to do is I would like you to go to LinkedIn, and there is a guy on LinkedIn called Marco Alfonso Rogers. He works at Centrama. I think his name on LinkedIn is Marco AR. Find him and just message him and say, I've been asked to find out whether you're taller or shorter in real life. That's all we want you to ask.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work out his height.
What's the prize?
Really big prize. Let me just check the bank balance at the business at the moment. Wow. Okay. We're doing okay. It's going to be £1,000 gift card for the first person that does that. £1,000. Send that message. Screenshot it. Send it to me because we'll talk about it offline, but I've heard that you've not been paying out on some of these tasks.
No, I paid out on all of them. The issue is I paid out on I paid two people because I felt bad. You're getting
right,
mixed up.
You shouldn't be doing
it's
that.
It's not that I didn't pay, it's that I paid two people.
Right, well, don't be doing things like that. Yeah, let us know and we'll get that money in your bank account. I've been Jack Frimpson.
I've been Zach Thompson.
Thanks and respect.
Respect yourself. Cheers.